chapter 14. We will read that in its entirety. I know it's a lot of scripture, but I want you to see the whole context of what's going on there, so we're going to read it all. You know, you just can't go wrong filling yourself up on God's Word. Ironically, this week, I felt very much nudged because of several reasons to preach on the gift of tongues and interpretation today. I had no idea because it happened spontaneously where we have tongues and interpretation in the service. I have no idea when that's going to happen, but today we had three tongues with interpretation back to back. So, for those of you who maybe aren't real familiar with that, we have several new people in the church that maybe are not real familiar with that. This will be a great opportunity. We won't get done with this message today. It's going to take next Sunday as well. So over the next 2 weeks, hopefully, if I do an adequate job of preaching, I will be able to bring some understanding to everyone so that we all understand how this gift works and why God uses this gift in this way, as he does all his gifts. We're going to focus on the gift of tongues and interpretation. Funny story before we get started. In the first church I pastored, which was First Baptist Church in Comanche years ago, I preached a series on the gifts of the Spirit. And I saved tongues and interpretation for last because there's so much controversy. And if you really want some extra controversy, then you want to do that in a Baptist church. That'll get a pastor crucified. But having been, ever since I got saved, involved in the full gospel, believing that the gifts are for today, just as they were back then, and teaching and preaching that, when they hired me, I told them I wanted to make sure it was God that was clearly leading me to pastor a Baptist church, because I had never even been part of a Baptist church. I wasn't a Baptist, okay? But felt God's leading, but just wanted to be sure that I was sure that this was clearly God leading me, this charismatic, on fire for God, Holy Ghost person, to go into a Baptist church. And so we were having a meeting, things were progressing. I had been preaching there for a few months, and things were going well, and they needed a pastor, so they decided to offer me an interim position. And we were in the final meeting of that process, and I said, I just want you to know right up front. I thought, this is going to kill the deal. I speak in tongues. And I was waiting for it. Well, it was dead silent. And then finally, a little older woman in her 80s at the other end of the table said, well, I don't have a problem with that. Does anybody else? Well, nobody else seemed to have a problem with it either, so it went forward. And when that happened that way, I was like, okay, God, you're in this. You're clearly in this. That was my final fleece. Okay? So there was a couple of older women that were there that were not happy because I was not a Baptist. And how can you pastor a Baptist church if you're not a Baptist? I said, I don't know, but God called me here. I probably won't be here that long because God's got another call on my life. But while I'm here, I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability. And I did for 3.5 years. And then God called me out. Guess what? He called me to plant a church in Fulton, Illinois. Here we are. Okay? So, but here's the deal. I preached two messages, because it took two messages to bring some understanding on the gift of tongues and interpretation. And after I was done with the second week, the following Monday, the next day, knock on the door of my office on Monday morning out at the church. I was in my office there. This little sweet old woman who her husband had passed on, but he was a pastor, Baptist pastor. She comes in and she sat down and said, "What can I do for you?" And she said, "Well, I'm really kind of angry." I said, "Oh, really? Well, who are you angry at?" "You." What did I do?" "Well, I have no problem with you preaching on the gifts of the Spirit, but you're pushing tongues because you preach two messages on that one and only one on all the other ones." I said, "No, frankly, I don't care whether you speak in tongues or not. I just want you to be full of the Holy Ghost and be who God wants you to be." I taught two messages on the gift of tongues interpretation because I tried very hard to bring a balance to the understanding of that so that people would understand about that. So it took me two messages to do that. I didn't do that so that I could turn everybody in this Baptist church into tongue talkers. That was not my purpose. Well, that kind of settled her down a little bit. She was, and seriously, she was a sweet lady, but she was upset. She was convinced, man, that I was just trying to push my tongue agenda on the church. Well, I told you that story because it's true. It really happened. And also so that you understand, I'm teaching on this gift, as I've taught on all the gifts, because all of the gifts of God are good. And we need to understand them, be thankful for them, and operate in the gifts of the Spirit as Jesus delves them out. Right? So, with that all said, would you follow along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14? It says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring to you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying. You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, 2, or at the most 3 should speak, 1 at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have put in your word everything that we need. You have put in your word clear instruction for the use of the gift of tongues and interpretation. And Lord, as we explore this today and again next week, we pray, Lord, that you will open the understanding of our hearts and our minds, that, Lord, we would not fear this because it's a gift from you and there is nothing to fear in that. That, Lord, we would be open to you to give us whatever gifts you desire. That we would pray for you to give us your gifts so that we will be empowered to be usable in your hands to reach a lost culture. And for that, Lord, we give you praise. And Lord, now I pray that you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have called me to speak today. Not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the gift of tongues became a concern in the Corinthian church because the use of the gift had begun to cause disorder in the church. This letter was written to the church in Corinth. Are we clear in that? And then it was followed up with a second letter. But this letter was written Paul was dealing with a lot going on in the church with the use of this gift, the gift of tongues. They had come to the place where they were just wild. They were just wild. I mean, everybody was speaking in tongues. It was creating complete disorder, like it would if a whole bunch of people just started speaking in tongues while I'm preaching. Wouldn't that bring disorder? Well, apparently that's some of what was happening. And so Paul wrote this for instruction in the use of tongues for God's glory. And so he's bringing correction to the church in Corinth because of the disorder that there was. Speaking in tongues is a legitimate gift of the Holy Spirit, but the Corinthian believers were using it as a sign of spiritual superiority rather than as a means to spiritual unity and power. They had come to the place where if a person didn't speak in tongues, they were like, well, they thought that the gift of tongues, they had isolated the gift of tongues and made it like a standard for spirituality. That should never happen with any of the gifts. If God is doing anything in us or through us, it's for His glory, and He's the one that gets all the glory for it. Not the person that possesses the gifts. We are only a vessel. Never forget that. Because anything beyond that turns to pride, and pride goes before the fall. Am I clear? So, the gift of tongues should never be a spiritual barometer of how spiritual anyone is. Alright? I remember when I was a new believer, I had just gotten saved, I was on fire for God, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of tongues, I'm a brand new believer. It was only my second time to the church. Okay? And lo and behold, boy, can you see how the enemy works? I'm sitting there, and then they come to a time where, it was a prayer time, but there was also kind of a meet and greet time involved in that. And then they had, in the church they had a time where you would form small circles of four or five people that would pray together. Okay? They had small circles of prayer, and then the service would go on after that time. Well, the gentleman that was sitting behind me pokes me on the shoulder and says, "Do you speak in tongues?" I was like, what in the world? I mean, I was a brand new believer, man. And mind you, I had just been baptized in the Holy Ghost and did speak in tongues at that time, because I got that gift literally one week after I got saved. Okay? That's the truth. That's how it happened with me. Doesn't happen all the time that way, but that's how it happened with me. And so I knew what tongues was, I had that gift, but I didn't have any understanding about it at all. And I couldn't get in my mind around why someone sitting behind me would be the first thing they asked me is whether I spoke in tongues or not. Now that I know the Word of God, I didn't know the Word of God yet then, you understand? Man, I was a preschool with a college book when I come in with a Bible. You know what I'm saying? But now that I know the Word of God pretty good, I look back and I'm thinking, that's exactly what was happening in the Corinthian church. That's exactly what was happening in the Corinthian church. And I lived it immediately after I got saved, where the devil was trying to twist me up. Well, I talked to my spiritual father about that the following week when we met, and I told him about it, and he said, "Yeah, Brother Wayne, that brother needs some instruction." So, anyway, I have experienced over the years seeing the abuse of the gift being used wrongly, but I have also seen the fruit, I have experienced the fruit of that gift used right. Used properly, in order. It's definitely a good thing. All things that come from God are good. Amen? Yeah. In verse 15 of what we just read, it says, "So what shall I do?" And Paul says, "I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind." Most of you have probably never been in a meeting anywhere where the Spirit of God descends and people spontaneously begin to sing in the Spirit with their spiritual language and sing in the Spirit altogether. I want you to understand something. That is a beautiful thing, and it is of God. That is one of the times, one of the only times, that it's all right for a bunch of people speaking in their spiritual language at the same time, because they are worshiping God and doing it in unison. It does not create disorder. It is beautiful. How many of you have ever experienced that? Beautiful, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. I've been in that kind of situation many times in the last 40 years, and every time that happens, I have always felt like I was lifted into the throne room of God. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Absolutely powerful. It's beautiful. So I want you to understand, this is why he put in this instruction, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. We sing with our understanding. When we are worshiping, we're singing with our understanding. We understand the words that we are saying. But when we are singing with our spirit, we are singing words that we don't. Our spirit is communing directly with God's spirit. And it's beautiful. It's very, very uplifting. All of the spiritual gifts are only beneficial when they are properly used to benefit everyone in the church. The spiritual gifts that God gives are supposed to be used to edify all of the people in the church. Now, today is one of those times where spontaneously God brought tongue and interpretation. Never know when that's going to happen. Just so you understand, that's never, ever planned. I don't sit and write something up and study it and memorize it so that I can stand up here and there is no manipulation involved in this, all right? It is God and what he draws out of me or anyone else when they interpret has come from him, okay? That's why when there is tongue and interpretation, you were listening when we read it, that is equal to prophecy. And that prophecy and tongue with interpretation, because it's equal with prophecy, edifies the body. So it is right and proper. But don't forget also that we read that tongues edify the person that speaks the tongues. Well, you might say, well, how in the world does that work? Well, let me explain. When we are praying, how many of you, when you're praying, you're trying to pray, spend some time in prayer, and the devil's throwing all kinds of things in your mind, all kinds of distractions come. Be honest, does that happen to you?
Yeah.
It happens to me. Okay? Well, when we are praying in the Spirit, to quote what Paul said in the letter to the Corinthians, he said, at that point, my mind is unfruitful. Am I telling you the truth?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it said?
Yeah.
In other words, my mind is not in gear. Okay? And what's happening is the Spirit of God is communing directly with our spirit. The devil hates it. He can't mess with that because he can't mess with your understanding. The devil hates it when we are praying in our spiritual language. When we are by ourselves, for example, and praying, driving down the road maybe. I do that all the time when I'm by myself. People probably think I'm singing. That's all right. I don't really care what the people next to me at the stoplight think. But there's many times I'm driving and I'm just praying in the Spirit. I might even be singing in the Spirit. Singing a new song, you know what I mean? Where the Spirit of God just births something in you. And you just start opening your mouth and sing words. It's awesome. It's uplifting. But see, the devil can't mess with that because you don't get distracted by the devil because you are in the Spirit. And your spirit is communing directly with God, and the enemy cannot mess with that. He hates it. That's why the devil has worked so hard to create confusion connected with this gift. Because he don't want people to operate in this gift the way God designed it to be, because when we do, we are edified ourselves, and also when interpretation is part of it in the gathering of believers, then it is edifying to the whole body. Am I making sense? I want to look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11 right now. I remember after I got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, I went and talked to my mom. I didn't have any wisdom yet at all. I dumped all this on her, and she looked like a cat that you're holding up over a pail of water. I mean, she was freaked out. I laid all this stuff on her, told her, yeah, Mom, I got the gift of tongues now. And she was like, oh no, you're one of them holy rollers. That's what she told me. She says, you're not rolling on the floor, are you? I said, not yet. She had heard about the holy rollers, you know. And that was supposed to be all the Assembly of God churches. They're all supposed to be holy rollers. Well, it's been my experience that's not the case. But anyway, so yeah, she had big eyeballs and was like, whoa. And I didn't have any wisdom sharing. I didn't need to share that with her. I just needed to share, in hindsight, I should have just shared with her. I got saved. I did share that, but then I went too far. I freaked her right out. The good news is she got saved later under my ministry out in the Baptist church where I told them I spoke in tongues. You got to believe that was God, right? All right. Verses 4 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives to them each one just as He determines. Now skip down to verse 27, same chapter, and we're going to read through verse 30. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. Don't you find it interesting that in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the letter written for instruction to the Corinthian church, chapter 12 deals with the gifts of the Spirit? We just read it, right? It's dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, and also chapter 14 is dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. We read it in its entirety, right? Okay, well, right in the middle of those two bookends is the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the 13th chapter is known as the love chapter. So you got two chapters that deal with the gifts of the Spirit. That end up being bookends of the 13th chapter, which really, love is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, there are nine listed in the Word of God, correct? All right? But you cook all of those nine down, and here's what it cooks down to. Love is the fruit of the Spirit, and the following eight are attributes of that love. You study them, you'll find that out. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The following eight are attributes of that love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't it interesting that God saw to it that the fruit of the Spirit was sandwiched right between the bookends of the gifts of the Spirit? I'm telling you that because I have never, for very good reason, I have never taught on the gifts of the Spirit without making clear that the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful. They're from God. Desire the gifts, all right? Desire the gifts. Pray for the gifts, the ones that God would give you, and use them when He gives them to you. But they're not greater than the fruit of the Spirit, and they're not the same thing. I have seen people try to operate in the gifts of the Spirit without having developed the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, and I have seen people shipwreck their lives because they're not operating in love. Everything we do and everything we are needs to come out of the love of God that is flowing through us. So if we operate in the gifts, it shouldn't be to draw attention to ourselves. It should be out of love for God and love for His people, so that when the gifts are flowing like they should, the people that God loves and the people that you love then are built up. They are edified. Is that making sense to you? People can get out of balance so easily, can't we? We get messed up. So, that's what happened to the Corinthian church. Paul makes several points about speaking in tongues in chapter 14. He says in verse 2 that it's a spiritual gift from God. Makes it abundantly clear. I've had well-meaning religious people tell me over the years that speaking in tongues was from the devil. I even had a pastor tell me that was my pastor at the time. Wrong. Tried to talk me out of believing what had happened to me. I made it abundantly clear to him, that's not happening. He got pretty bully at one point and said, well, I'll tell you one thing, there's not going to be anybody speaking in tongues in my church. I remember saying, whose church? Whose church is that? You know what happened? Within 10 years went by. And at the end of those 10 years, when he was getting ready to retire, he said, I thank God for the Neo-Pentecostals that God brought into my church. He did. There was that much change in 10 years. You know why? Because he saw the people, myself included, that were operating in the gifts, including the gift of tongues and interpretation, but also gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy. He saw that those were the people in the church that were shaking hell's kingdom. It took him 10 years, but he figured it out. It is a spiritual gift from God. He makes it abundantly clear it is a desirable gift. In verse 5, he makes it abundantly clear to us, which says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. And in chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, it says, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, I want to share something with you that will blow your mind. The anti-tongues people, there are many in the world. And they're charismatic pastors, all right? There are many. That's up to them. Like I said, in the beginning of this message, it's not my agenda to try to make everybody speak in tongues. That's not my agenda. My agenda is to teach the people about the gift so that they don't fear it, so that they're open to receiving it from God if that's what he desires for them. It's as simple as that. In verse 5, when Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Most of the translations of the Bible from the original language have gotten this wrong. This one is wrong. The New King James is wrong. The King James is wrong, for those of you who are King James only, if you're here. The King James is wrong. I could go on and on. There are many translations that are wrong. When you go back to the original language, the word rather that is translated from the original language, the word rather in our language, that he would rather have you prophesy. When we hear the word rather, do we or do we not think, okay, that means instead of? Isn't that right? When you hear the word rather, don't you think, okay, instead of? Isn't that right? Okay. That's why this is a gross misrepresentation of what the original language had to say. The original language, the word malon is used in Greek. M-A-L-L-O-N. I'll say that again. M-A-L-L-O-N. Well, Pastor Wayne, why is this important? Because it changes everything. This is what has fueled people that are charismatic bashers and say tongues are from the devil, you're not supposed to speak in tongues. Wrong answer. This word melon means not instead of. It doesn't mean that. What it means is along with and beyond that. The word melon in Greek means not instead of. It means along with and beyond that. That changes the whole context of that verse. Because translators did a lousy job of translating to our language a word that meant really totally different from what they used in the word rather. It changes everything. So let me read that, substituting what the word melon actually means in the Greek. It says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but along with and beyond that you prophesy. Changes the whole context. See, there is great value in digging back to the original language and finding morsels. This is far from the only thing where translators got it wrong. They missed it. And it's a good idea to be able to find those things, because otherwise we're being duped. Verse 4 goes on to say, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. I've also had charismatic bashers quote that scripture to me. And my answer to them has been, is there really anybody that don't want to be themselves to be built up? I need built up every day. It's why I do a lot of things. It's why I feed my body. It's why I give my body enough fluids every day. It's why I'm a big vitamin taker. My wife and I take a lot of vitamins. It's why I feed my body a lot of vitamins every day. Because it builds up my body. But see, people want to say, well, that's just selfish if you're going to try to build yourself up. Well, it says in the Word to build yourself up in your most holy faith. It says in the Word to study, to show yourself approved. I need built up in my spirit. So I use my spiritual language. I thank God for it. Doesn't make me any more spiritual than anybody that doesn't use the gift of tongues. But I sure like being built up. Well, Pastor Wayne, how's it build you up? You don't even know what you're saying. No, most of the time I don't. Only if he gives me the interpretation, because obviously I do have that gift. But I don't always know what I'm saying when I'm speaking in tongues by any means. Only when God gives me the interpretation. That's it. And yes, sometimes I will speak in tongues, and then God will give me the interpretation of what I've spoken. Sometimes. But it's rare. Most of the time, I'm just using my spiritual language, and I'm getting refreshed. Who doesn't want to be refreshed? Who doesn't want to be built up in their spirit so that we're built up on fire for God and ready to be used as vessels in His hand? Why not be built up? The world is working very hard at tearing us down. Does anybody else feel that way? The world works very hard. And not only the world, but Satan works very hard to tear us down. You know, it's not such a big deal to him if we ourselves are saved. What really bothers him is when we start reproducing. That's a big bother to him. And when that starts happening, you get a target on your back. He wants to keep us impotent. Right? God has given us everything we need, including the gift of tongues, to build us up so that we can not only survive, but so that we can thrive while we live this life on this earth. Secondly, boy, I'm not getting very far here. It might take 3 weeks to get through this. Well, that's okay anyway, isn't it? You guys want to know, right? You want the truth, right? That's all I want. I just want the truth. Okay, secondly, the technical term for this gift in Greek is glossolalia. Glossolalia. It's spelled just like it sounds. G-L-O-S-S-O-L-A-L-A-O-L-A-L-I-A. Glossolalia. That's a tongue twister. No pun intended. So, we break down the word glossa, which means tongue. Glossa is tongue, and lalia is speech. That's the original word for tongue. Glossa, lalia. Glossa, tongue, lalia means speech or speaking. I am very thankful that God orchestrated it, that I would get saved and immediately get baptized with the Holy Spirit, into the Holy Spirit, and baptized with the Holy Spirit a week later. Because otherwise, I don't know if I would have made it. You understand what I'm saying? I was a really messed up cat when I got saved. And if I had not had that power in my life immediately when I got born again, I don't know if I would have made it. You got to understand, the wolves, if you will, those people that were my friends before, kept calling and trying to get me to come out and do the things I was doing before I got saved. The wolves just kept coming, and every time that would happen, I would see the look on my wife's face like, oh Lord. Yeah, didn't it? Yeah, I'm being real. But I made it. I made it because God empowered me. I made it. I got through all that. Came out the other side victorious. And that's why I am preaching this. First of all, out of obedience to God. But secondly, so that people understand the gifts of God are not to be feared. They are to be prayed for and sought after so that you can live successfully in this earth like God has called you to, but also so that you reproduce in the power of Christ. Well, I got to quit there because it's already 11. But did you learn something this morning already? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, I just pray your blessing on every man, woman, and child in this place today. Lord, we have been under the instruction of your word. Lord, we have been blessed today because you spoke to us today through tongue and interpretation. Three separate ones. Back to back. Lord, we just praise you for that, for speaking to this body of believers. And Lord, now as we leave this place, I pray, Lord, that you will bring those of us back safely that are coming to Wednesday night to watch the video again and learn more. And Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, that we just make it back to hear the next part of this message. That, Lord, we will have understanding, that we will not fear the gift of tongues, but that we will be open to whatever you want to do with that instruction, Lord God. And we just praise you for it. We glorify you, Lord God. And as we leave this place, direct our steps, Lord, and use us to be a light in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.